In a number of times in the past, we had the opportunity to read emails from India by Joji. Today, we don't have to read his emails. Joji is here with us in person. And yes, for now it is my great honor and pleasure to introduce and to you Joji, all the way from India. Okay, thank you.
Hallelujah, it's exciting to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, this is the day the Lord has made. All right? This is the day. Today is a gift from God. And I'm so excited to be in the presence of family. Hallelujah. You're all family. You may not understand what it is, but you are family to me. I come from another continent. My sister is here. She lives here in Philly, in Willowsbrook. All right? But I work in India, but I do believe I have a family here. You're my family. Because you guys have no idea how much you, sitting here, have affected the nation of India. A nation with a billion souls. Hallelujah. I'm excited to be here. I still remember the first time I stepped in here. Or rather, let me say the day before, the Saturday. I was praying, man, Lord, you need to tell me which church to go to. I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying. I search. And then I found Word of Life Church. And then I was staying with my cousin Ben. I told him, bro, I think I know where I have to go. And I told him the address. He said, are you sure? That's about an hour's drive away from here. There are a lot of churches nearby that you can go. I said, I'm glad there are a lot of churches here, but that's not where God wants me to go. And I gave him the address, and then we landed here. It was awesome. Let me tell you, how many of you have stepped into a hot tub of water in winter? You know how it feels. You know how good it feels, right? All right. As I was coming down the stairs, the first day I came down here, I was just stepping down. You know, that's the feeling I got. I'm like, wow, this is good. And you have this feeling inside you that says, this is the place. This is it. This is it. I'm like, thank God I heard the Holy Ghost. Thank God I heard the Holy Ghost. And it's not been the same. You guys have been partnering with us. I'm just blown. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord has been doing. All right. I'm primarily a teacher of the Word of God. Let me say, my name is Joji. All right. I'm married. I have a wife and three children. All right. My wife is with me in the ministry. We are both the teachers of the Word of God. My oldest daughter, she is 11 years old. My second daughter, she is 8 years old. And my youngest son, he's 7 years old. Yeah, I'm old. I'm older than I look. Yeah, yes. I just turned 40 last week. So, yeah. And it's been a privilege and honor in serving God. My wife, apart from being a teacher of the Word of God, she also leads praise and worship. She sings and she plays the guitar very well. Sometimes I feel, man, I should love to play the guitar as well. Well, and we do a lot of things back home in India. We serve in our church under a pastor. And we are in the ministry with our pastor, serving with him in the church. We also teach in a Bible school. It's called Domata India Bible School, which is an associate Bible school of Rhema. It also comes under Domata International, headed by Pastors Mark and Janet Brazee in Oklahoma. And also, we have our own independent ministry where we travel, we do discipleship programs. Jesus said, go and make disciples of nations. And so, I do these discipleship programs in different parts of the nation, in different places, sometimes places that you think is inhospitable. We go to jungles, we go to villages, we go to the cities, we go everywhere. All right, wherever we get an open door, we jump right in. Because, hey, there's a billion people. There's harvest everywhere you look. So we do these discipleship programs, which I call Evangelism Discipleship Conferences. And I've taken the name from Andrew Womack's Evangelism and Discipleship course. Yeah, I'm sure Andrew will not be angry with me for using that name. Because that's what we do. We train up pastors and we equip them with the Word of God, because you won't believe there are ministers out there, pastors, leaders out there who have no idea of the Word of God. They are just so stuck up in traditions that just hinder the flow of God. And there are churches there that have been remained with 10 people for 30 years. They don't do anything and they don't see an impact. So what we do is we gather these, we meet them personally, we equip people who go there, meet them personally, bring them in. And we have conferences, teaching seminars, where we equip them with the Word of God. We teach them. Let me give you an example how it affects. In an average, conference, we have about at least 40 pastors coming with their families. And each one of those pastors can reach, have an outreach of at least about 50 people, a minimum of 10 people. So imagine 40 into 50. All right? So each of these people are equipping those people. And they in turn go and equip other people once they are trained. So we do these things. We have conferences where we teach them the basics. We start off with those things: spirit, soul, body. When I see that, it just blesses my soul, all right? Because I strongly believe I'm equipped. I have a mandate from God to teach on that, man. Any topic I look, I see spirit, soul, body, differentiating the word in those things. But so we teach them the Word of God. We teach them the importance of the Word of God. We get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, most of them have no idea about that. They have no idea about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we get them baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we teach them why you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then we go on and teach them, take a session on marriage, because it's important. You can't be a minister of God and have a failed marriage. So we teach them on marriage. And then we teach them the foundational doctrines of Christ, which is listed in Hebrews 6. There are 7 foundational doctrines. So this is how we go. We have a 3-day meeting with the first session, and then the next session where we teach them the foundational doctrines. And we encourage them to go and teach others. So this is the primary thing that we do, and we also mentor them. We teach them, and we have other meetings for the leaders. We go on like this, and we also have crusades, where we go and mass crusades, where we set up a stage and then we just preach away. We just preach away. We get souls saved and then we add them to churches. So that's one part. But we strongly believe we have to reach out and build up. That's the primary thing that Jesus wants. You need to reach out and build up. Hallelujah. So you have no idea. The offerings that you send, the partnerships that you have, it's building up those people. Those people in the villages. Let me tell you, jungles, when you go to the jungles, it's not easy. All right. At least you see, here you see the people, you see their faces and the emotions. And there, you're preaching in the dark. Anybody got bugs coming in your mouth when you're preaching? You know how bad it feels? You're preaching? Well, that's what happens in the jungles. You're standing there, and these people, they just squat down like this with expressionless faces. Most of them, first-time believers, they just sit there looking at you. And it's dark. So you don't know if they're happy, if they're bugged at you. You don't know. And then there's a fire burning nearby. The bugs are attracted to you. And as you get so excited, you move towards the fire and the bug goes in your mouth. And like, oh, come on. Yeah, protein. Protein, that's right. That's right. That's protein. So, and it's fun. It's exciting. I mean, these are people who are hearing the Word of God for the first time. And the worst part, it's the worst part, is you try to stop the service. They are bugged at that. They sit there. Why is he stopping? Go on. We don't have anything else to do. You just go on. Because they can't read. You can't just give them the Bible and tell them, you read now. You read. They don't have access to internet or gadgets where they could listen to the word over and over again. So they just, when they get an opportunity, they say, go on, speak. So you end up speaking the whole night. And you're tired. But I found a way around it, though. Like, you saw what happened today during praise and worship? What happened? The Holy Ghost fell. All right? The Holy Ghost fell. Yeah, so I took the example from Acts chapter 10. While Peter was preaching in Cornelius' house, something happened there. He was yet speaking and the Holy Ghost fell. So the best part is, he's a fisherman, not much education. I mean, I'm sure he won't be, at that time, especially it's the beginning of the church, he wouldn't have too much to speak. So as he spoke what he knew, the Holy Ghost fell, and then they all started speaking in tongues. So I followed that example, and I've seen that it always works. So I don't have to speak, I let them do the speaking. They get baptized in the Holy Ghost fell, they all start speaking in tongues. And it goes on for another hour or two, so I'm like, ah, thank you. This is the refreshing that you promised about. Because I would have spoken for about an hour or more, so it's good. The Word always gives us an example of what to do. The Word teaches. You can follow the example in the Word, especially the book of Acts. It's a good example to build up a church. What happened in the book of Acts is a good example and pattern to follow in all the churches. What did they do? They went about everywhere preaching. Yeah, what did they have? They had apostles, pastors, and teachers in the church. They did not have their separate ministries, but they were all in the church. So a church is a place where you raise up apostles, raise up teachers, raise up pastors, raise up evangelists. And then what did they do? They broke bread daily. They gathered together daily. They listened to the Word of God. They broke bread daily. And then in Acts chapter 17, you see the Bereans. Bible says they were more noble than everybody else. Why? Because they received the Word of God with all gladness, readiness of heart, and they went back and searched the Scriptures daily to make sure that what they heard was right there. See, so we follow the pattern. We encourage the people to follow the pattern. So you ask me, what if they are uneducated? That's why we raise up other disciples who can go there, who can be with them, who teach them the Word, who teach them to read. We get the Bibles printed in the local languages. We sponsor organizations that translate Bibles in local languages and who teach and equip people to read and write. So they can read the truth for themselves. They don't always have to depend on somebody else. We do these things. We sponsor those people, and then we also sponsor children's education. We sponsor children, poor children who come from very poor backgrounds, and we equip them to send them to schools. We pay their school fees. So that's an open door for us to reach out to the parents. So when they see that, hey, they're doing something good for my child, they are not able to send them to school, and we send them to international schools where they teach them in the Cambridge syllabus. So they become equipped. They are taught the Word of God. So when the children's lives are changing, it affects the parents as well. You won't believe. You know that $400 a month can sponsor 5 children. The education, they can sponsor the monthly school fees of 5 children. $400 in an international school. Not just a local government school, in an international school where they are taught the Cambridge syllabus, where they are equipped so they could go anywhere in the world. You may not know that you might be sponsoring a child coming from a poor family, but that guy could turn out to be Bill Gates, the next Bill Gates. Yeah. So what we do is, with what we have, we do all these things. We go out, we reach out. As I return back, I return on the 10th of June. From the 17th to the 21st, I have another conference in a place called Kakinada in the state of Andhra Pradesh in India, where we do the same thing. We are calling in pastors. We are calling them in. We are training them up. And currently, the main persecution that we face in certain places are, like I told Pastor, it's from believers, Christians. So just because we pray in tongues, they think we are a cult. Yeah, they don't believe in tongues. So what they do is they file false allegations with the cops. When we try to book a place, hire a place, they cause issues there. They come and they speak to the landlords and tell and influence them and tell them not to give us a place. But we end up having it anyway. Because we have the favor of God. Yeah. So they close one door, the Lord opens 100. So it's good. So we're going, as soon as I reach back, I'm preparing for the next meeting. And the offerings that you give are going there, where the people are being equipped. Pastors are being equipped. Their families are being equipped. And we focus a lot on marriage. We focus a lot on marriage. Because marriages is a place where the relationship between church and Jesus and Christ is revealed. The church is the bride. He's the bridegroom. So a proper marriage, a good marriage, is a place where the children understand the relationship between Christ and the church. So if the marriage is failing, they get confused. When the parents are arguing with each other, the children are like, is this how Christ deals with the church? Is this how the church deals with Christ? So we focus a lot on equipping the pastors, counseling them, teaching them about marriage, the importance of marriage, raising up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We do all these things. And it's amazing. It's amazing. We've seen countless lives transformed. People on the verge of suicide, sometimes they just turn up in our meetings. And we call them forth. When we are having a meeting, we pray, Lord, bring those people in. Bring those people in. Who are just want to give up on life, bring them in. Almost every other meeting, we have at least one testimony of somebody who was about to commit suicide, just turning up randomly, just because they heard the speakers blaring on or somebody invited them. So it's affecting people. It's affecting people. I'm so glad and I'm so grateful to be here. It's a gift of God. Today is a gift from God to me to be here with you guys. Because the influence that you have in a nation of 1 billion people, I don't have words to explain. I don't. You may be living your normal lives. You're coming to church, hearing the word taught here, which is good, which is amazing. The Spirit is moving here. But you have no idea what's happening there. Your lives are influencing people there. Your gifts, your partnership is affecting people's life. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about that. That's why I wanted to share this with you. The moment Pastor asked me if I could share, I'm like, yeah, I want to. I want to share. Because you have an impact there. You have an impact there. And I'm grateful for my sister and her family here. They've been helping out. They're such a blessing. Hallelujah. I'm just grateful to God. I'm just a grateful man. I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful, thankful, thankful. I open my mouth to pray. You ask me to lead a prayer. I mean, you're in trouble because you'll be hearing a lot of thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're good. You're good and your mercy endures forever. You're good and your mercy endures forever. You're good. You're good. You're good. You're so good, Lord. Thank you. You're good. You're good. Yeah. So when I came right here, when the praise and worship started, it was like, you're good. Like, oh yeah, you're good. You're good. You're good. The Lord is so good. He is good and His mercy endures forever. His goodness and mercy followed us till this moment and it's going to continue all the days of our life. I'm glad it continues. It doesn't stop. There's no full stop there. It's just continuous tense. It's present continuous tense. It's present there right now. It continues. That's the goodness of God. But I'm so excited. Pastor asked me to share the word. As we were praising, the Lord had just put some things in me. So I would like to share that with you. Hallelujah. All right, let me just pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. Lord, it's amazing. Awesome. Ha, ha, ha. So good. So good, Daddy. So good. So good. So good to be in your presence. Hallelujah. Ah, your arms are open wide for us. Ah, we love you, Daddy. We thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We can run into your arms anytime. Woo! Glory, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we are here to receive from you. Our hearts are good ground for the word of God. We declare our mind is alert. We want only what you want, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Daddy. We declare we are fruitful branches. Fruitful branches. We bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. Thank you, Father, because we are connected to the vine. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Woo! Wow, it was good. Well, while we were having praise and worship, you noticed what was happening. The Spirit was flowing. There's freedom for the Holy Spirit to flow. There's freedom. Hallelujah. Why is it? The Lord wants to minister to His people. The Lord wants to touch you. It's the intimate touch of a Father. And the Holy Spirit is the medium through which you communicate. He expresses His love. Hallelujah. So let's open our Bibles. Let's go to Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Hallelujah. Whew, I'm excited. Yeah. In His presence there's fullness of joy. And the best expression of joy is Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! God is good. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. That's John the Baptist speaking. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Woo! What were we singing about? Baptism in the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to see some things today. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. Man, he's a blessing. Brother Barry, haha. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. We've all read the scripture, one time or the other. Let me ask you a question. Who is speaking here? Jesus. All right. When is He speaking? When is He speaking? Yeah, He's speaking right now, but in context with that, when is He speaking? After His resurrection, just before His ascension. All right? So He died on the cross. He went to hell, He paid the price, He rose again the third day. And now He's speaking to His disciples. He spent 40 days with them, opening up their eyes and giving them illumination about the scriptures. And now just before He ascended to heaven, He's telling them, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why? Why? To testify, to be witnesses. Witnesses. Now, what is a witness? What is a witness? What does it mean to witness? Now, where is it that you hear the word witness the most? In a court. Yeah, in a court. Now, what does a witness do? Exactly, they tell the truth. But what do their words do? They validate what they have seen, and their words add weight to what was accused. Yeah. Yes or no? Yeah. Their words add weight. What has been accused of, or what the judge says? Their words matter a lot. And Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses unto me." Unto who? The resurrected Christ. Not the Jesus who died on the cross. Not the Jesus who was buried. But the Jesus who is resurrected. Yeah. Yes or no? Yes. The Jesus who is resurrected, who is alive today. Yes. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. Now my question, Any of you here seen Jesus face to face? Well, in a vision, naturally? Did you see him on the cross physically?
No.
Did you see him raised up from the dead physically?
No.
No, you've not. Were you there in Jerusalem when he was hanging on the cross?
No.
No. Then how can you be a witness? And you're telling me it happened 2,000 years ago and you are just 40 years old? Ah, come on. Can you validate this in a court of law? You can't. You're giving a false testimony, naturally speaking. Yes or no? So many times when you go out to share the word with someone, preach the gospel, you wonder, man, what am I going to say? How do I approach this guy? What if he asked me a couple of questions? I don't have the answers. Any of you felt that way before? Yeah. Yeah. We all felt that. Man, what am I going to say? What if he asked me about God and I don't know? You say, oh, I don't know. I'll ask my pastor and get back to you. Man, that's what I used to do. That's what I used to do. I didn't know. I didn't have all the answers. I just received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was just excited. I just wanted to go and tell everyone about Jesus. But the questions bothered me. They were asking all kinds of questions. I didn't have the answers. But then as I read this, I understood. He said, you shall receive power from... Sorry. I've been traveling a lot. Different time zones. Yeah. All right. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be a witness unto me. Yeah. Hallelujah. So now my question is, why do you need this power? You're supposed to be a witness. Okay, so you go before someone, you tell them about Jesus. Brother, I want to share with you about Jesus. They're like, you get that look in India. Are you trying to convert me? Are you trying to convert me? It's against the law. I'm like, no. Yeah. See, we face all these things. At least there's a little freedom here to preach the gospel, to go and tell somebody about Jesus. Because everybody's heard about Jesus once in a while. In some places where you go, man, nobody's heard about him. They don't know. Even the shopkeepers who sell Christmas decorations, they have no idea what Christmas is. Yeah. There are vendors there who sell Christmas decorations. They sell Christmas trees. They sell all kinds of shiny, glittery stuff, but they have no idea about Jesus. We ask them, what is Christmas? They say, it's something the Christians do. It's their celebration. Like, what are they celebrating? They don't know. We ask them, have you heard of Jesus? No. They don't know. So how do you become a witness to them? You're going to stand there talking about a Jesus whom you have not seen physically. You have not touched him. You did not see the wounds, or you did not touch it like Matthew did. All right, at least he was privileged to touch it. So you've not been there. You didn't see him. You didn't touch him. You didn't see him hanging there on the cross. You didn't see him becoming sin. You didn't see him go to hell. You didn't see him resurrected naturally. How can you be a witness? They're going to ask you all kinds of questions. Why should I believe? That's where you need the power. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness. See, the witnessing happens after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, to be a powerful witness of the resurrected Christ. To be a powerful witness of the resurrected Christ. Why? He's alive. And how do you prove he's alive? Go with me to Romans 15. Let's see that. Verse 19. Oh, we'll read from verse 18. Romans 15, verse 18 and 19. It says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He said he preached through mighty signs and wonders through the power of the Holy Ghost. So now the question is, why do you need the power? For mighty signs and wonders. What happens? Let me ask you a question. You are going there to preach for someone. You saw somebody who's sick. Let's say a man who's crippled, who's lame, he's got a limp, he's walking. You felt like you need to share the gospel with them. You need to talk to them about Jesus. So you go there. He's an unbeliever. He's never heard about Jesus. You go there. You try sharing intellectually. He'll look at you with all kinds of faces. Uh-huh. Okay. But then you lay hands on him. You say, in Jesus' name, be healed. And suddenly his leg is fixed. Gets healed. He starts walking. You're like, whoa, something happened to me. Now let me ask you a question. He got healed. Who healed him? Jesus. Why did he heal him? Because he's alive. He's resurrected. He's alive. Now will he have any questions? You just answered all questions. You see that? When the lame starts walking, when the blind starts seeing, when the deaf starts hearing, when the lepers are cleansed, there's no more questions. Jesus is alive. Because it's not you, it's Jesus, the resurrected Christ, who healed him. It's the resurrected Christ who transformed lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you need the power from on high. So when you go there, when you just pray for the sick and the power of God is manifested, what is happening? You just became a powerful witness of the resurrected Christ. Woo! That's why you need power. You need power. See, you have the wellspring of life inside you, but you also have the rivers. The well is for you, for your needs, but the rivers are for them. For the nations. And what's the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of the power coming upon you? You speak in tongues. You speak in tongues. If you, my brother, my sister, if you speak in tongues, trust me, you have the power. You have been empowered with power from on high to be a powerful witness of the resurrected Christ wherever you are, the neighborhood that you're living in, the place that you work in, among the people you work. Yeah. You've been empowered. If you speak in tongues today, you have the power. You have power from on high. And what kind of power is it? What kind of power is it? Hallelujah. Man, I don't preach that much, but today I'm in the preaching. Yeah. Woo! Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 onwards. Let's read that. Hallelujah. Woo! Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. Before that, let me just tell you. The book of Revelations, chapter 19, I think it's verse 10, it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So whatever I'm sharing to you right now is the testimony of Jesus. And as I share these, there is a spirit of prophecy behind it, what that ensures that every person listening to the words are opening a door for the same thing to happen in their lives. You need to understand that. The testimony of Jesus, it can be a simple testimony. Lord, heal my headache. Well, as you share the testimony, you're opening door for the person hearing you to receive the same miracle in their life. It's a spirit of prophecy to them. So as I'm sharing these things to you, I'm sharing the testimony of Christ. And it's a spirit of prophecy for this church to receive the same thing as you go to your back home, to your neighborhood, to your colleges, to your schools, to your place of work, wherever it is. You have that prophecy over you. The same door is open for you to receive the same things. Hallelujah. Let's get back. Ephesians chapter 1. And I can go on. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read verse 19 onwards. It says, on what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. This is one of my favorite scriptures. So what did it talk about, the power? It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. It's not just made in China power. No. No, I have nothing against China. I love the Chinese. But some of the stuff that comes from there, man. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That same power is now upon you. So that now you can go and preach the gospel, which is the power of God. As you preach, what's happening? You are raising that person who is spiritually dead. You're raising him up to life. You need the same resurrection power when you preach the gospel. Else it's dead. You can try and preach the gospel with using your mental faculties, using your intelligence, but it's not going to work. It's not going to last much longer. I mean, Paul had that experience in Athens. He went there to Athens. He just saw, he thought, wow, these guys are intellectual guys. Let me use my degrees. Man, he was qualified. He studied under Gamaliel, who was considered the topmost scholar at that time. So he had his degrees, he had his PhDs. So he thought he'll try sharing the gospel with them using his intelligence. He knew about the traditions, he studied the traditions, he saw their culture. So he tried to speak. And what was the end result? They said, "We will talk to you another time. We want to hear more about you later." See you later. See, they said indirectly, "See you later, buddy." He learned. That's why he said, I'm not coming to you with my intelligence. I'm coming with the power of God. I'm coming with the power of God. He understood it. If the great apostle Paul needed it, how much more you and me? How much more? So if you speak in tongues today, oh, my brother, my sister, you have that power upon you. You have that power upon you, that same power that raised Christ from the dead. Why? So when you go there and you lay hands on somebody, when you preach the gospel to somebody, ha ha ha, what's happening? You're raising that person from the dead. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is making you a powerful witness that Jesus is alive. Woo! I'm excited he's alive. I'm excited because he changed me. He changed me. A drug dealer. A goon. Man, I did all kinds of nasty things by the time I was 19. Man, I've done things which I wouldn't even speak about. I was on my... Oh, man, that's my sister. She knows me. She knows me. Ah. Oh. See, you can speak to anybody, but you can't just make up stories with family. They know you, right? You can put a good face before anybody. Isn't it right, sister? Huh? Isn't it right? Ralph can be the best looking person ever, but you know. Oh, Ralph, I know you. Yeah. It's true. So, I led a very bad life. Thank God for that same power that raises Christ from the dead. I was on the verge of killing myself. Man, that power raised me up. And I can't just shut up. I have to share it with someone. I have to. Because what's the use of power, receiving power from on high and just going about regular life as if nothing's happened? No. Man, I worked 16 years in the IT industry. I started from the lower position. I got promotions after promotions. I was in the top management level. But you know, nothing satisfies you than seeing a person who is dead being raised back to life. The same Christ who is alive, he is raising people from the dead. You are spiritually dead. Your spirit was cut off from the life of God. Ah, I'm so glad I'm back. I'm alive. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Perish means eternal death, but have everlasting, eternal life. That means forever you are connected to God. You are connected to the life of God. And it's the same life inside you, the life of God, that you are transferring to people when you lay hands on them. Oh, my brother, my sister. I'm not taking much longer. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Do not neglect the gift of speaking in tongues. It's the power of God. It's not just for you. Yes, there are personal benefits of speaking in tongues. There's hundreds. I can go on for hours. I love you, sister. You never say that to a preacher. Yeah. Yeah, there are hundreds of benefits. All right? When you speak in tongues, who is speaking? You. Who's giving you the words? The Holy Spirit. It's your spirit speaking to the Father. No man understands him because you're not speaking to them. You're speaking to the Father. And what are you speaking? It says, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. What are these mysteries? Second Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, 7 verse 7 says, how we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So every time you go, what did you just say? I just spoke the wisdom of God. I said something smart. Yeah, I said something smart. It might be foolishness to somebody, but I just said something that is smart. The same wisdom that was used in the creation of the earth. The same wisdom that God used when he raised Christ from the dead. That's what you're speaking, my brother, my sister. That's wisdom. You're speaking wisdom. There are lots of benefit, but the primary use of speaking in tongues is the power. The same power that raised you from the dead, you're raising somebody else. You're empowered with that power. To be a powerful witness that, hey, my Jesus is alive. Try everything you can. There are many good people who came, who did good things, who lived a good life, who died, who were buried. They never came back. But my Jesus, he was a good man. He's the Word of God, the Word that became flesh. He dwelt among men. He did good works. He did good works. You are called to do the same good works. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's Ephesians 2:10. Yeah, what kind of good work? A manifestation of the power that raised Christ from the dead. You've been empowered. Today, I do not want any of you to go back neglecting this. Yes, it's so nice to be refreshed by the Spirit of God when you gather together. Yes, I enjoyed worship today. Let me tell you, sister, thank you so much. I enjoyed worship. I enjoyed worship. All of us did. I know you enjoyed. The Holy Spirit was here. The fire of God was there. Working in things in your life, burning unwanted stuff away. Yeah, but he's also upon you for a reason. He's also upon you. God wants to use you to testify about him. When you go back to your colleges, when you go back to your schools, when you go back to your workplaces, be praying in tongues. When you're driving, be praying in tongues. When you're sweeping the floor, when the vacuum cleaner, well, that's doing its job. What about you? You have a mouth. All right, go. You can go. Use your mouth. Use your mouth to speak life. Use your mouth to release life. Use your mouth as a weapon in the spirit realm. See, we deal with all kinds of demons in India. It doesn't mean there are no demons in America. I know there are. But we deal with them face to face sometimes. Oh, they come up with all kinds of manifestation. People turn into animals. Sometimes people fly up in the sky. I mean, the worst I saw was an old lady in her 80s standing like this, demon-possessed. She just tossed. She stood on her neck like this. I'm like, whoa! Like, ha ha ha, well, you cannot intimidate me. I was for a second, but not for long. Yeah. They do all kinds of stuff there. We see these stuff. But the same power that raised Christ from the dead is greater than any of those things. We say in Jesus' name, get out! We don't waste time asking them their addresses, their email IDs, their phone numbers. No, we don't. We just tell them, get out in Jesus' name. They sense the power. Why do they show all these stuff? They're just trying to intimidate you. They're just trying to tell you that our power is greater. Nah, I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead, the same power that was used in the creation of heaven and earth. I have it in Christ. You open your mouth, you speak, you release it. You go around praying in tongues. You go around speaking life. You're releasing the wisdom of God. Be speaking smart things. Yeah. It's not the job of the smartphone to say smart things. It's your mouth. Yeah. The most smartest device that you have is your mouth. That releases the wisdom of God. Just release it. Release it. Be speaking. You have that power, my brother, my sister. I believe everybody here speaks in tongues. Is there anybody here who doesn't speak in tongues? Is there anyone here who would like to receive it? I would encourage you, just come forward. Right now. There's power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead available. Jesus said, when I go unto the Father, and I release the promise of the Spirit. It's a promise that that He sent. On the day of Pentecost, that promise was fulfilled. That promise was fulfilled. He released the Holy Ghost. So today, my brother, my sister. Sister, let's just make some space here. Let's just move this. Yeah. My brother, my sister, you need that power. It's not something, yes, it is gibberish. It sounds nonsense. Doesn't make sense to your head. That's why Paul said, when I speak in tongues, my mind is unfruitful. It's not for your mind. It's your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, speaking to the Creator, speaking to your Father in heaven. Speaking the wisdom of God. Hallelujah, it's for you. So you can be a powerful witness wherever you are. I'm telling you, the day I received it, I didn't have anybody lay hands on me. I just saw it. I said, Lord, if those people can just speak, I can speak. So all you need to do today is believe it's for you. 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given. It's like I say, brother, this phone is yours. The moment I said those, listen. The moment I say this phone is yours, the ownership changed. To whom does this belong now? It's his. But as long as it remains here, it is useless for him. This might be the latest phone with all the latest accessories, whatever, the features. But as long as he doesn't receive it, it's useless for him. So all he needs to do is receive. Jesus said, receive. Receive. In the book of Acts, they said, have you received the Holy Spirit? Sending the Holy Spirit was his job. He did it. The question is, have you received? Have you received? How do you receive it? Simply believe and open your mouth. Simply believe and open your mouth. He will give you the words. Don't let your brain come in between. Just shut this off. Just turn this off for a moment. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Do not speak English. Do not speak any other languages that you know. Just trust the Holy Spirit. Just trust the Holy Spirit. He's there. See, when I started out, there was just one syllable, like ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. I'm like, oh, my head kept saying, that's nonsense. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. I just said, I don't care. I'll be a fool for Jesus. So I just continued. My head told me, you're just speaking one word over and over again. It doesn't make sense. I said, I don't care. I didn't stop. The trick was, I didn't stop. So I'm going to lay hands on you right now. Right now. Receive. How do you receive? Simply open your mouth and speak. Just take a deep breath and just release. Words will come. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Do not. It's not about your mind. Just open your mouth. It may sound nonsense. It may be just one word, but just release it. Continue saying. Nobody's bothered about it. Let me tell you. Don't worry about what the person next to you will think. They don't know either. You're not speaking to him. You're speaking to your Father in heaven. He understands. Even if it's just one syllable saying ta 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 ta, it makes sense to him. Have you seen babies? They might just go goo 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 goo. Do you understand? But they're saying something. They're saying something to their parents. So today, receive. Receive, it's for you. Just open your mouth and speak, my brother, my sister. Just release it. Take a deep breath. Release it. Those words are coming. In fact, it's rare right now. The power of God is upon you right now. Hallelujah. Robasek. I encourage everybody else to start speaking in tongues. As I lay hands on you, simply open your mouth and speak.